HD.
From the Town Fair Tire Studios.
This is Boston's most listened to sports station. On air, online, and the Sports Hub app. Boston's home for sports is 98.5, the Sports Hub.
A Beasley Media Group station.
Sports Hub headlines.
The Bruins look to rebound from Thursday's shootout loss as they host the Columbus Blue Jackets this afternoon at TD Garden. Judd and Bob will get it started with the Dunkin' pregame at 12:30, face-off at 1 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and the New England Honda Dealers Bruins Radio Network. The Celtics stumbled at home against the Magic last night, a 117-109 loss. Robert Williams made his season debut, 17.5 minutes at 9 points and 5 rebounds. Al Horford also returned after missing the last 5 games and got ejected in the third quarter for a low blow on Mo Wagner. Celtics and Magic will meet again tomorrow at TD Garden, tip-off at 3 o'clock. Patriots making final preparations for their matchup against the Raiders in Las Vegas tomorrow. Jalen Mills, Devontae Parker, Isaiah Wynn have all been ruled out. Ramondre Stevenson, Jacoby Myers, Damian Harris among the questionables. Other NFL news, Jets quarterback Mike White will miss tomorrow's game against Detroit. Zach Wilson starts in his place. Broncos quarterback Russell Wilson has cleared concussion protocol but will not play on Sunday. He's expected back next week. NFL tripleheader today. Colts and Vikings get going at 1, then Ravens-Browns at 4:30. Dolphins visit snowy Buffalo at 8:15. Red Sox yesterday designating Eric Hosmer for assignment. They traded a prospect to the Royals for pitcher Wyatt Mills and traded Hoy Park to Atlanta for a player to be named later. And former Red Sox outfielder Andrew Benintendi joins the Chicago White Sox on a 5-year, $75 million deal. Sports Hub headlines brought to you by the Government Center Parking Garage. Coming in for the game today, take care of your parking ahead of time. Save 15% by entering promo code HUB at governmentcentergarage.com before the game. I'm Ryan Johnston on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines next hour.
One website connects you to everything Boston sports.
That place is rocking.
Your favorite shows on demand.
They're hooping and a hollering.
And puppets.
And more.
Seriously, who does that?
Boston's online home for sports. 98.5, thesportshub.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk soft and out of town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
From the Town Fair Tire Studio here in Waltham, Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. No Chris Gasper today. He is still on, and I'm using air quotes here, assignment covering the Boston Celtics out in Los Angeles. Now, this is where you would respond and say, well, wait a minute, Jim. Didn't the Celtics last play in Los Angeles on Tuesday night against the Lakers and have a home game last night against Orlando? Yes, that's true. But Chris Gasper and I, pals outside of the radio biz for a reason, because the man knows how to milk a road trip dry. So I hope my fancy pal is out there enjoying all the in and out and all the fancy times that he can handle, because that's how it's done. Why rush back? Plus, it's only a 90-minute show today, as thankfully the Boston Bruins have a matinee game coming up at 1 p.m. Pre-game starts 12:30 with Judd and Bob here on the Sports Hub. So I think I'm more than capable of handling that time here all by myself. And in that time, we'll get to the Celtics coming up in about an hour, because that game last night, and really this week, is worth talking about with them. Because I think they've had a bad week. But I did want to open with this. Kind of be an airing of grievances, I guess, for me personally, if I'm going to be here by myself. And Brian Robb, covering the Celtics for Mass Live, in producing as well. I figure we'd just kind of have like an airing of grievances. That's what I'd like to do between now and noon. Then we'll get to the Celtics and air the grievances on them. But I did want to open with this because it's something, you know, I haven't had the opportunity to really expound upon on Felger and Maz. And that hell has frozen over for yours truly. It really has. And by that, I mean the NFL has finally found a way to start to alienate me. Start. We're not fully there yet. But I think the product has kind of gone to hell this year, specifically. It's even found a way to turn me off. And in the past, even with all the goofy rule changes, the watering down of the product on the field over the last 10 to 15 years, I would readily admit, while I might not like it, the league has me over a barrel. I'm going to be there week in, week out. If you listen with any regularity to this show, Felger and Maz, you know that I've always kind of enjoyed in a sick way the bad Thursday night product. Now, not so much anymore. Like, it's real. The league, to me, has reached a tipping point this year. These Thursday night games, the only reason to really tune into these Thursday night games is to hear the misery of Al Michaels. Al and I think, are in lockstep in this. Like, the something's happened. And maybe it's with the quarterbacks. I mean, just so as we're heading into, or now we've reached week 15, because you had that Thursday night game the other night, which thankfully I didn't watch. I was at the Bruins game, their worst loss of the year against the Kings. Figures, I happen to be in the building. But that night, I mean, just in terms of, like, usually, you know, at the NFL, it's even for a casual, you're tuning in because of the quarterback matchups. This is what we're looking at this week. Well, Thursday night, it starts with Brock Purdy. Fine, decent enough story, but it's more about the coaching there and the cast he's surrounded by in that stacked Niners team. So it's Brock Purdy against Geno Smith. Yay. Jared Goff and Zach Wilson. And we'll get to more of this in a sec, but the Jets have now had to turn it back to Zach Wilson. Colt McCoy against Brett Rippon? Huh? Desmond Ridder, now starting for the Falcons, against Andy Dalton. Daniel Jones v. Taylor Heineke. Now that game has been flexed to primetime tomorrow night. Mitch Trubisky or maybe Mason Rudolph against Sam Darnold? Ugh. Not to mention tomorrow, you know, locally, we'll have all eyes on the Patriots with their whiny baby of a quarterback, Mac Jones, going up against Derek Carr, who's just Mac Jones with eyeliner, in my opinion. Like, a few years ago, I thought the quarterback play was pretty good overall, and the biggest problem were the lack of quality head coaches. And I feel like that's now kind of reversed itself in the last, well, 2-3 years. I mean, there's still obviously a lot of idiot coaches. But there's some that give me some hope. You know, I think that there's some guys that, some younger guys, like Nick Sirianni, who I probably would name the coach of the year right now of Philadelphia. And, yep, I was wrong on him when he first came in, and he's up there like a nervous idiot at his first press conference. I'm like, well, this guy's going to be a failure. But, no, some of these younger, offensive-minded coaches, they give me some hope. But now the quarterback thing has flipped. The quality of play, ugh. Yeah, in the college game, so I was always like NFL over NCAA. This year, though, it's completely flipped for me. I think college football has blown the NFL completely out of the water this year. I'm genuinely excited for these playoff games, Michigan TCU, Georgia Ohio State, even some of these bowl games. Last week, I'm spitefully rooting for the Jackrabbits over evil Holy Cross. Good win for my Jacks. But even that, like, as I was watching, I'm like, this is actually entertaining. Even Army-Navy. Well, there's really no offense. There's something about the pomp, the circumstance that comes with Army-Navy. I'm genuinely excited to go to that next year at Gillette Stadium. Like, that game, it goes to overtime for the first time in over 100 years. Like, that was fun last week. Like, I have found college football so much more enjoyable than the NFL this year. And so this is why it hit me this morning, too. Why I wanted to talk about this. Selfishly, again, I'm here 90 minutes by myself with B-Rub, and I'll talk about what I want. It's the last one of these of the year, by the way, the last Gaspar Amari. How so? There's still a few weeks to go. You know, vacation, whatever. And I'm not working on my birthday on the 31st. In the past, the first slate of Saturday games, even if the Patriots weren't involved, like, I loved that first Saturday slate in the NFL. It's just, Army-Navy game has already taken place. Some of the lesser bowl games are underway, but it's that NFL thing. It's been going on here like 30 years or so. There's a slate of 2 to 3 games on Saturday. Pretty cool. You come home from the Christmas shopping. You park your ass in front of the television. Now, I don't know. Like, when I get out of here today, like, it might be on in the background later. I got shopping and stuff to do for the holidays, and I got plans to go see Louis C.K. with my wife tonight. But am I, like, bummed out that I'm going to miss any of these games today? Indy, Minnesota, coming up at 1.
Woo!
Baltimore, Cleveland. Oh, that's worth sitting home and watching today at 4:30. And then this Miami-Buffalo game tonight. Like, once I see the, you know, the picturesque snowy scene in Buffalo, cool. And then Buffalo's going to throttle that bad Miami team. It's doing what they've done here in recent years, where you start to think, oh, okay, they figured it out. No, and then they have the December swoon, and then they're going to fall out of the playoff race. Which, hey, as a, you know, if you're a Patriots fan, I'm sure you're pumped about that. But that thing tonight, I'm sorry, like, outside of seeing the cool, snowy picturesque video of it, like, I'm not gonna make time for these games today where I have in the past. It's just, I think the product has really, really reached a tipping point. It started to suffer. And maybe that's because the Patriots have been a big part of that this year. And, you know, this thing Monday night against Arizona was, I mean, 3 plays in. And there's nothing you could do about injuries like this. But Kyler Murray blowing out his knee 3 plays in. What I thought actually might have been a somewhat competitive, entertaining product. Immediately, to me, and I tweeted it. And I was right. This game's now completely worthless. And it was, like, you know, we got to watch it, got to talk about it. But even you, like, dyed-in-the-wool Patriots fan, did you really enjoy watching that the other night? You'd be lying to my face if you said you did. The game was, it was wretched. The product has been wretched. And, look, now I'm also more convinced more than ever, because of the bad product and because of these other teams falling all over themselves, the Patriots are going to back into the playoffs. Yep, they're at the 7 seed now. But with what's going on with the Dolphins, and they'll lose tonight. Again, watch that. Or, you know, tune in for a sec. See the cool snowy scene. I'll be like, okay, Bills are already up 10-0. This thing's over. Because that Miami offense isn't going to be able to move the ball in the snow. I don't care how fast Tyreek Hill is. They'll probably even be a higher seed. And it's not because of anything that they're going to do. Of course not. The offense is a wreck. Matt Patricia is way in over his head. Everyone hates him for a reason. And I find Mac Jones to be, to me, personally, a limited, unlikable bore. Stop whining. And then yesterday, but it's about everybody else. It's about the bad product. It's what these other teams are doing. The Jets being forced to go back to Zach Wilson at quarterback. And they're not even forced. They're deciding, well, we have drafted him high. We have to play him over Joe Flacco. Really? Really? Because Mike White can't get cleared by any doctors. Mike White, tough SOB. You know, gutted it out in that loss against Buffalo last week. He could play, but oh no, the doctors, we can't allow that. Well, God forbid we have anything entertaining. So now the Jets, well, you forget about them, they're done. Miami, they're going to lose in Buffalo tonight. And then I think the Dolphins are going to continue to do their swoon the rest of the way. The L.A. Chargers, I know what the math says, and I know what their schedule is. It's the easiest of these 3 teams vying for that 7 spot between the Patriots, the Jets, and them the rest of the way. You're going to trust the Chargers. The Chargers are going to do Charger things and find a way to screw it up. And so, you know, look, and I've seen some of this. I heard some of the calls yesterday to Felger and Maz, Zoen Bertrand, like, oh, no, well, you know, this Vegas game's going to be tough. It's, you know, the Patriots have been playing poor. They're probably going to get Darren Waller and Hunter Renfro back. Oh, God. They're probably going to get hurt in the first play, or they're not going to get cleared. Something's going to happen here. They'll get hurt. You know, again, like, this is lining up for them. And great, like, you know, we could use the extra content here, but it's just, with the way that they've played, the way that they looked, do they deserve to even make the playoffs? And this is what it's come to. And it speaks to my overall bigger, I guess, thesis, for lack of a better term, on the NFL this year. The Patriots are going to end up backing into the playoffs because the product stinks. Everyone else stinks. The cream of the crop is the cream of the crop. And I guess, you know, look, I will be there for the playoffs. They still get me over the barrel with that. But the rest of this season, we still got, what, 5-4 games to go? Ugh. Oh, just figure out the seeding, please, and let's get to the playoffs. Or maybe it'll finally be entertaining. This has been the year. The first time in my, I'll be about to be 46 in a couple of weeks. Love the NFL. Defend it till I'm red in the face. The first year that I can remember ever thinking, I like college football better. College football has been better than the NFL this year. Oh, God, this game tomorrow, too. Could be a shootout. It won't be. It'll probably be like Pats 20, Raiders 17. If you'd like to join me today, because again, all by myself, the phone number, as always, is 617-779-0985. It's a Gasperless Gasper and Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Is 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sounds like back not opinion to me.
This is Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's a Gasperless Gasper and Murray. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Jim Murray here with you until 12:30 today. Just a short show as the Bruins have a matinee game over at TD Garden. So if you'd like to join me at any point, 617-779-0985. We'll get to the Celtics in an abbreviated Sports Hub Celtics show coming up in about 45 minutes or so. Update on tomorrow's Patriots-Raiders game, by the way. The Patriots have downgraded running back Damian Harris to out. He was listed as questionable, and so Ramondre Stevenson with the ankle remaining questionable. So, once again, the Patriots might have to rely on the rookie running backs, the two-headed monster of Kevin Harris. It is Kevin Harris, right? And Pierre Strong. Look how fast they were. It took me a while. Another thing I will, in a long list of things I've been wrong about in my my time on air here with Felger and Maz and here at the Sports Hub. When I came back here full-time back in 2015 with those guys, I was a running backist. Back lives matter. Like, running backs are important. They should be drafted high. Rah! It was okay for the Giants to take Saquon Barkley that high. No. I will admit I was wrong. Mike was right. They're all interchangeable razors. They really are. So people, like, losing their minds over Pierre Strong and Kevin Harris last week. Look, guys, like, it's those guys, they'll be, like, forgotten in a couple of weeks or a year from now. Fine, they had decent enough nights. But to me, that's more about the ineptitude of the Arizona Cardinals. Pierre Strong, Kevin Harris, okay, fast, but, like, neat. Okay. Like, they're not going to be factors going forward. So I was wrong about running backs. But Damian Harris will be out tomorrow, and Ramondre Stevenson remains questionable. I would like to take your temperature just on them as a whole, too. Like, are you cranked up for this tomorrow? I will say again, selfishly, like, the greatest thing that's happened to me this season in the NFL is that that game tomorrow got flexed out. And the Patriots should also be thankful for this, too, by the way. You know, by the way, in case you don't know, selfishly, I wanted it flexed out because this would be the fourth primetime game in a row. Joe Murray and I do the post game. And on those night games, I don't get home till like 3 in the morning. Oh, well, it's not like you're putting up drywall for a living or lifting heavy things for, I get it, but it's a pain in the ass, and it leaves me really tired. So I'm happy that got flexed out. But the Patriots as an organization, I think, should also be happy that that game got flexed out because of the ridiculous theatrics of Mac Jones and what's been going on here these, well, really the whole season, but especially these last couple of weeks, where the quarterback acting like a baby, losing his mind on the field. Like, now you have national attention. And now they're going up against, well, his former offensive coordinator and Josh McDaniels. And if, you know, Renfrow and I think it's a big if because the Raiders are going to find a way to screw this up tomorrow because that's what's going to happen. But if Renfrow and Waller are back and they go off and Josh and the offense are doing exotic things and Derek Carr doesn't puke in himself, good luck with that. Adams is catching, you know, 90-yard bombs. It looks like what an NFL offense should look like in 2022. And the Patriots' offense is screen left, screen right, run up the middle for three, screen right, screen left, sacked. Mac Jones losing his mind again? Well, you're going to get further attention from
from the national spotlight and those that cover the league. And I think the pressure, look, if you're a Bill guy and you're, you know, you will defend him forever and pitchforks and flames and all that. Yeah, like Bill was the more important. If you're a Bill guy, be happy this game is not in prime time, because if that happens tomorrow, Raiders go off. Patriots offense looks inept again. Mac Jones has another nutty. Lighten up Matt Patricia, you know, as he's going to the sideline. Well, you know, Bill, like the heat is really going to be turned up on Bill. And rightfully so, in my opinion. But for as far as the attention, be happy this game is now at 4:05 and buried in that slot. Not even the prime time in 4:25. Not the national game, the 4:05 game, which is usually reserved for your lesser teams, Jacksonville Browns. And, you know, we check in on Red Zone for a couple of seconds because you have a couple of players going on your fantasy team. Like, that's what it's been relegated to. But be happy for that, again, because if this thing goes sideways tomorrow, which it could, given how this offense has looked, you could get Mac Jones having another nutty. And just on him as a whole, like, I get it. There's really, to me, there's no winners here between Mac Jones v. Matt Patricia, Mac Jones v. coaching staff as a whole. I find them both detestable. I really do. Like, on the one end, I get it. I get the frustrations of Mac Jones. He's, you know, the kid's going into his second year, his all-important sophomore year as a quarterback. In recent years, this is when guys like Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen make that kind of leap. And I get it. Pro Bowler last year, asterisk, it's because people bowed out. But he did. I could say, like, the upward trajectory of Mac Jones, while I'm no believer in him, he thought he was probably going to make a jump. He came in better shape, leaner, more muscle, same offensive staff around him. Like, okay, he probably thought he was going to make a leap. And then he finds out that his coordinator is Matt Patricia, and there's Joe Judge, and the offense is getting worse by the week. What are we doing here? So he's been dealt a bad hand. I get it, but he's been going on about this since before the season started. So as much as Matt Patricia sucks and the offense is being handled poorly, I still do believe, because I'm an old, in chain of command. So at some point, kid, like, stuff it down, bury your feelings, deal with it behind the scenes, because to have these nutties on field, prime time, two straight weeks, awful look for him, makes him look like a baby, awful look for the organization. But I get it. On the one hand, I get it. But at some point, dude, you got to get over it. You got to get over it. Like, even for me, the Brady Bobo back in 2014, when Brady, you know, grows out the pissed off beard when they trade Mankins, and he's having, like, this silent protest, and the Kansas City game happens, and all of that. At some point, dude, you got to get over it. Shut up and get over it. So that would be my message to Mac Jones. And then, you know, like, so what? But that I'm forced to kind of support Matt Patricia and Joe Judge? Ugh. I don't want to do that. And Bill? Ugh. There's no winners here. There's no winners here. The thing's a complete mess. But be that as it may, they're still going to find a way to end up backing into the playoffs because of the ineptitude of everybody else. And that speaks to the larger problem, is that the NFL it's reached a real tipping point to me this year. The product has just suffered. The product has stunk. Even these primetime games of teams that aren't here, I think I can count on one hand and have fingers left over of the ones I've truly enjoyed this year. Ones that have been like, they got like real juice, real wow factor to them. That Kansas City Buffalo game, you're going to go back like, what, 2.5 months for that? And as a Brady Bobo being forced to watch the Bucs, I'll give you this. How's the Bucs this year? Awful. They're absolutely awful. I would take the Bengals as 21-point favorites tomorrow in Tampa. As bad as the Patriots' offense has been to watch, the Bucs worse. Worse. Oh, God, get him out of there. Ugh. Disgusting. All right, John in the car. You're first up here on Gasper and Murray without Gasper today. Hi, John.
Hey, Murray, how are you?
Good.
I flipped this, I turned the page this year as well. I'm watching more Saturday football than I ever have. There are basically five teams that I will watch on Sunday. I'll barely watch the Patriots. And those are all a function of what quarterbacks I want to see. And I only think there are five quarterbacks in the NFL right now that are worth watching. I think it's Allen. I think it's Mahomes. I think it's Hurts. It's Herbert and it's Burrow. And if any one of those five are playing and I can get the game, I'll watch it. The other 27 teams are just a giant bag of suck. I have no interest in watching any of it. And I think that's the problem with the NFL, is they've got a huge void in quarterback talent, and there's nothing coming. I don't know. I mean, college football is great to watch, but one of the things you're seeing is there's not much coming up. So I think there's a big problem there.
Yeah, and some of the quarterbacks are going to be drafted, I think, way too high next year. like is it Bryce Young at Alabama? Yeah. He's probably going to go number one overall to Houston. Good luck there. It's just, look, even when I've randomly tuned into things that I wouldn't watch in the past, like the Pac-12 championship a couple of weeks back with Utah. If you watch that Utah, the Utes, hey, they're a party. Cameron Rising, the rock and roll quarterback, like things I've just happened upon in, on a Saturday watching college football this year. It's in, it all of a sudden I'm like, wow, I'm entranced. This is a blast. What the NFL had done to me for most of my life. This year, oh God, these Thursday night games, poor Al Michaels. You know, I know he got the bag, but the you hear the misery week in, week out in the voice of Al Michaels, which I find wildly entertaining. It's really the only reason to tune into that product on stupid Amazon. You can tell he hates Kirk Herbstreit. And what he's watching is like, what have I done? Just, you know what, Al, you should probably call it a career. If you're this pissed, just walk away. That's what the NFL's done to poor Al Michaels. All right, half hour to go on pretty much random stuff, anything that I want to talk about between now and this abbreviated Sports Hub Celtic show. They're worth talking about because they've had a bad week. And how the hell do you lose to the Orlando Magic last night? And Al Horford losing his mind and elbowing a German in the Jimmy last night. But we'll get to them coming up. But if you want to join me, talk about the Pats, some thoughts on tomorrow's game, the NFL as a whole, my whole screed, and I think that the NFL has really reached a tipping point and has started to truly suck and even alienate me. A slate of games on a Saturday, which in the past I'm like, I'm making the whole day about watching these Saturday games. Today, I got a million other things I'd much rather do. 617-779-0985, a Gasperless Gasper and Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Chris Gasper, Big Jim Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Chris Gasper.
I'm not the one who's red-faced and ranting, so who's the baby?
And Big Jim Murray.
Takes in your face, sports.
Gasper and Murray. On Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Howdy, hello. Welcome back, Gasper and Murray, a Gasperless Gasper and Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Today, just a short show leading up to 12:30. Bruins pregame, as they have a matinee game today. But really, it's an airing of grievances for yours truly. If I'm going to be here by myself, I'm going to bitch about what I want. And my overall thesis of bitching today is that after all these years, the NFL has really started to alienate yours truly. Whereas I would defend it until I was blue in the face. It's the best. I know it's watered down, but the NFL is king. This year, started a waiver. College football, greater than the NFL. I found myself far more into random college football games that I've tuned into on a Saturday than I have the NFL this year. Just the product has really, really suffered, and I think a lot of it has to do with the poor quarterback play, the poor play overall. Again, I'll just run through it with you. Like the slate of quarterback matchups to this week for Week 15, starting Thursday night, Brock Purdy. Fine, cute story, but still. Mr. Irrelevant against Geno Smith. Boy, is that team turned into a pumpkin, too. Ooh, what a great story. Geno Smith, comeback player of the year. Seahawks, watch out. You know what that does, too? Goes to show you what that that win in Germany for Brady and the Bucks was. Kind of worthless. Seattle stinks. They've been exposed. Jared Goff against Zach Wilson, because the Jets have, they have to resort back to Zach Wilson. Because Mike White's ribs were turned to pudding in Buffalo last Sunday. Colt McCoy v. Brett Rippon. How bad? Oh, man. And the Russell Wilson thing, too. So that to me, that's another one. That's a reason that like the league took a hit this year. Like, ooh, Russell Wilson, who I've been a gigantic fan of. You know, I thought he got done dirty a little bit by Pete and the Seahawks at the end. Turns out Pete was right. Great trade for them. He's just washed. I thought that, you know, the Broncos team last year, they were a quarterback away, just a quarterback away. Offensive mind and Nathaniel Hackett. Within a couple of weeks, that guy proved to be way in over his head as a head coach. Russell Wilson now blows. He's been cleared from the concussion protocol, wants to play, and they're saying, no, we're good. We'll go with Brett Rippon. Oh, my gosh. Desmond Ridder now starting for the injured Hawaiian Tebow down in Atlanta. Is Marcus Mariota knee injury, I guess, out? So Desmond Ridder, maybe there's something there. I will say, to be fair, I did happen to see him a little bit in the preseason. Former Cincinnati quarterback Desmond Ridder. I was like, oh, yeah. But as of right now, on paper, Desmond Ridder v. Andy Dalton, puke. Tomorrow night, Daniel Jones v. Taylor Heinicke. Ugh. Mitch Trubisky or Mason Rudolph against Sam Darnold. Gross. And then, you know, Patriots and Mac Jones, middle and Mac against Mascara Mac tomorrow in Las Vegas. Just, I thought the quarterback play was all right. I thought we were okay there these last couple of years. Now, flipped. Head coaches, young head coaches, not so bad. Coaching used to be the problem. Now, quarterback's the problem. The product has really, really, really started to suffer. Credit to Tim McCone retweeting our pal Boston Sports Inf on Twitter, at Boston Sports Inf. Didn't have room for the O. How far we've come. Tim saying when football was fun, retweeting this video of the Patriots comeback from trailing 8 at the end of the third quarter against Pittsburgh, the Jesse James non-TD call game. That's not 5 years ago. That feels like a lifetime ago. Yeah, back when football was fun. Brady to Gronk the last couple of minutes. Gronk doing what he typically does against the hated Steelers, just owning that ass. Oh, God, that feels like a lifetime ago. 5 years ago now. It was a far cry from where we were. So, as I'm airing grievances, something else I wanted to touch on here, and sure, you're going to label me being the Brady D-rider that I often can be, admittedly so. But here's one thing that's starting to piss me off. This whole story, I'm sure you've heard about this dirtbag who started FTX, Sam Bankman-Fried, who is being held captive right now somewhere in the Bahamas, being held in jail, trying to get extradited back here to the United States. Now people going after Brady, Shaquille O'Neal, others that have helped promote FTX and this crypto nonsense. Reading from the New York Post here earlier this week, a lifelong New England Patriots fan who idolized Tom Brady invested nearly his entire life savings in FTX after the future Hall of Fame quarterback touted the crypto exchange in commercials. Now this gentleman, Michael Liveratos, some dude in Connecticut, 56-year-old legal clerk, moved $30,000 in crypto into the now bankrupt firm founded by Sam Bankman-Fried, who is indicted on fraud charges this week. He said, quote, as a New England Patriots fan my entire life, you can imagine the influence that Tom Brady would have. He and his Florida-based attorney filing a lawsuit in Miami federal court last month against Brady and Shark Tank co-host Kevin Mr. Wonderful O'Leary, another FTX pitchman. These pitch people, whether it's Mr. Wonderful, Brady, Shaq, whoever, this is a frivolous lawsuit to me, and then I'll get into my whole thoughts on crypto and that nonsense in a sec. But when you're a pitch person, do you think like a guy like this is really like thoroughly investigating? Like, oh no, I don't know. I don't know if I want my name attached to that. Like, I think we know what the bad things are. You're not going to attach your name to something like, you know, some awful, awful company. But this FTX thing at the time, like, okay, you're going to give me a mountain of money to promote this. Bing, bang, boom, just sign the check. Like, I'm good to go. Probably wasn't really like further investigation done by Brady and his firm, Mr. Wonderful and his people. And they got charmed by this snake oil salesman, this Bankman-Fried dick. So, like, okay, you're complicit. I think that's going too far. So they maybe investigated a little bit further. Fine. But this lawsuit to me is frivolous. Now, I hope that this Sam Bankman-Fried spends the rest of his life in prison. He's the one that's the real enemy here. And crypto as a whole, this is what I would say to this guy in this frivolous lawsuit against Tom Brady, like, and or to anyone else that has tried to promote crypto, talk to me about crypto, talk to you about crypto, or any of this kind of crap, explain it to me in a sentence. Oh, you can't? That's because it's fake. I have no remorse for this guy. Dude, like, if you couldn't really explain in a sentence what crypto was, why are you spending $30,000, your entire life savings, on this stuff in what is essentially like a get-rich-quick scheme? When it gets to people like you and I, ham and eggers like you and I, the rich people have already made their money. Now it's time for the grift. And so that guy should have known better. I put this on him or anyone else because there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that I want more than a complete crypto reckoning. Send all this nonsense to zero. I want all these Bitcoin bros in tears. These grifters, you scum. I'm not on your side on this one. Oh, but I invested, I lost. You should have known better. Why? Explain it to me in a sentence. You can't, because it's fake. The whole thing is one big pyramid scheme and a grift. So they're going after Brady, Mr. Wonderful, Shaq, Giselle, whoever. And they're pitch people. They don't know. Hey, you want to make a few million? Sure. All right. Great. And for this dope to say, oh, Brady tricked me. No, he didn't. You're a sucker. You were trying to also get rich quick, and you lost out. You should have known better. You should have went to the Encore and played blackjack with that money instead. You probably ought to have had a better chance of doubling it. This crypto crap. Well, you see, it's part of the blockchain. You explain it to me in like 9 words. Oh, you can't? Because it's fake. Okay. One more segment to go on pretty much whatever the hell I would like to say. In fact, I will give you, the people, a PSA for the holiday season if you're going to be traveling. That's what I will do as we lead into the Sports Hub Celtics show, which will, again, be abbreviated today because it's a short show because the Bruins have, thankfully, a matinee game. So we'll get to that all coming up next. If you want to join the show, hey, have at it at 617-779-0985.
That's an aberration, which I freely admit.
It's Gasper and Murray.
I'm drunk, you're gross, let's go.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Chris Gasper. Oh, and Big Jim Murray.
Give me fuel, give me fire. Give me that which I desire.
It's Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Again, a short Gasper and Murray today. No Chris. He's, I say this with a smile on my face, out on assignment in Los Angeles covering the Celtics. Which he was. Last game there was Tuesday.
True.
But, you know, the guy likes to milk a road trip just like yours truly. It's my
a lot of more research for him.
Yeah, right. I know. I got to put in the extra work. Really get into the nooks and crannies of Staples Center or Crypto Center. Good luck with that naming rights. I'm sure that's what it's going to be called in a couple of years when it all comes rightfully crashing down. Scam. A guy tweeting at me, you suck, saying gambling is better than Bitcoin. Complete moron. It's the same thing. Gambling, at least, is more trustworthy. This Bitcoin nonsense. You're into that? You think it's a real thing? Explain it to me in a sentence. You can't because it's fake, and you deserve to lose if you invested in that. I hope it all goes to zero. Okay, a PSA of sorts for you, the people, this Christmas season, this holiday season, whatever the hell you want to call it. A lot of you traveling to go see your loved ones or get the hell out of Dodge, which my wife and I normally do at this time of year. We're not this year. My birthday, New Year's Eve. The lovely Jasmine's birthday, Christmas Day. It's true. A couple of Capricorns for you. So in lieu of gifts, we typically get the hell out of Dodge. Go somewhere warm. Turks and Caicos, Key West, blah, blah, blah. Puerto Rico, we've done that in recent years. This year, she's got a new job, can't get enough time off. We're not going to do that. And this is part of my PSA here. We've had some, to put it mildly, some travel woes recently when we've tried to fly places. Aruba, Nashville recently. Even when we went to the Keys last year, kept canceling flights. See, because, you know, the world's gone to complete hell in a handbag. You can't trust where you're going to go, whether or not your flight's going to come back. People aren't working as much anymore, don't want to work. The world is hell. So last year, this time, it really started to, you know, rear its ugly head. Midweek, we're away, this lovely vacation. Oh, one canceled flight. Okay, I'll rebook on this other airline. Oh, that one got canceled too. Okay. I'll rebook on another airline. Oh, that got canceled too. Just cancellation after cancellation after cancellation. You can imagine the stress and paranoia. And did I handle it well? Of course I didn't. So, long story short, we were lucky to get one of the last rental cars, thanks to a couple of friends, out of Key West and drove from Key West to Orlando to fly back. She had to be at work. I had to be at work. Wait a minute, Jim. Isn't that a 7-hour ride? Why wouldn't you go to Miami? Why wouldn't you go to Fort Lauderdale? All booked. All booked. The only flight we could get out of Florida was Orlando. So we had to drive from Key West to Orlando to get a flight back. That's what the world has become. I wouldn't wish that really on anybody at this time of year. The stress of traveling is hell. But we made it back. But this is what it's become. Here's my I get. Did you see what was going on at Logan after like an inch of snow last week? Again, not enough people working to de-ice the planes. This was all on these Delta planes. Did you see this, B-Rub? People were stuck on the tarmac for up to 6 hours. Some people had flown from Minneapolis to Boston, 3.5 hour flight or so. They get here, and then they sat on the tarmac for an additional 5.
I would lose it. Like that, if you take a cross-country flight and you have to wait 3 or 4 hours to get off the plane, that's it. Like, I don't know what I'm doing there, but I'm losing it.
Now, at the risk of contradicting myself or what I'm about to say, I will say in that situation, your boy here would be in jail. I would have been in cuffs. That would be it. Those of you that hate me, congratulations, you would have won. Because in that situation, your boy here ends up in jail. Open the doors, get a bus. This thing had me, I was watching this in real time, people tweeting about it. I was just searching out like Delta, Logan, on tarmac. These poor people. And, you know, people are anxious flying anyway. Some people really can't deal with it, but they do it because it's a necessary evil, because you got to go somewhere, you got to see family, blah, blah, blah. These poor people losing their minds on Twitter, at mentioning Boston Police, at mentioning Boston Logan Airport, at mentioning Massport. Just like, please get us off these planes. I've been here for 5 hours. Giving myself paranoia reading this. These poor people, up to 6 hours, stuck. Why? Why? No explanation. And then Delta credited them $50. And I like Delta. That, and did you see this one too? This is how bad it's gotten. A group of strangers left stranded at a Florida airport, banded together for a road trip they'll never forget, and they went viral along the way. Video from Alana Story tells the story of 13 people whose Frontier Airlines flight was canceled in Orlando on December 4th. The flight was delayed twice before it was eventually canceled. Passengers lined up at the ticket counter. A few of them had the idea to rent a van and ride back together. Get that? The flight's been canceled, so a bunch of strangers, real world style, said, let's rent a van and ride back together. And so began a 10-hour impromptu road trip in a van full of strangers. Story filmed amusing updates from each of the passengers along the way and shared them on TikTok, where the videos went viral. One family was headed to the University of Tennessee for a college tour, while others were trying to get to Knoxville to help friends move. Others were just trying to get home. Story said the journey was very noisy and uncomfortable, you think? But overall, a great experience. People will often ask, like, how much to go to this concert on Twitter? How much to go to this gym? This, not all the money in the world. None. 13 strangers. I'm one of 13 with a bunch of strangers in a van to get to my destination. Nope, where I'm stuck is where I live, or I'll find another way, or I'd get a hotel room. But apparently the hotels were all booked. Over my dead body would I get into a van with 12 other strangers to get to my destination. But this is what it's become. Travel is such hell now that this is what it's become. You're better off never even leaving your house. With stories like this, you're better off just staying and never seeing your family again. Just Zoom them. We've learned how to do that in this last 3 years of hell. So here's my PSA to you. And again, at the risk of contradicting myself, because if I was stuck in the tarmac for 6 hours, I'd end up in cuffs. Tased, maced, all of it. Job gone. Cushy lifestyle, poof. I would have lost my mind. Open the door, get us on buses, get us out of here. But here's the thing. Behave. I know it stinks. That hell of having to drive last year, 7 hours, Key West, in a tiny car where I'm eating my knees to Orlando. Just behave. It sucks. It all stinks. Even if you're stuck in the tarmac for a long time, tweet out your anger. Hopefully you get a nice little giftie from whatever airline you're traveling. Everyone's pissed. Everyone's stressed. No one wants to deal with the stress of all of the travel and the potential of having to maybe get to your destination with 12 other strangers in a rented van. Oh, my God. Oh. Wow. That one, you know, I would not. Nope. But just behave. Just behave. Don't cause any other problems for other people. It's part of my bigger thesis on life and one of my great beliefs. The greatest gift you can give to another human being is to not inconvenience them. So, I mean, do you think that the airline pilots, those working on the plane, want to be dicks? They don't. They're just trying to get through their day and get through this hell time of year of travel. Behave. That's all. Just behave. Behave. So while I would not have behaved after being on a plane on the tarmac for 6 hours after a... Some of these people... I saw one woman, B-Rub, say, I flew from LaGuardia to Boston. This was a 35-minute flight. I've been on the tarmac for 3.5 hours.
It's nightmare fuel.
So, you know, grab a hoodie that you might have been wearing, take it off, scream into it. But just behave. Behave. Don't cause other issues for other people at this time of year when you're traveling, because no one wants to deal with the hell of any of this. The potential of getting into a van with 12 other strangers, being stuck on the tarmac, whatever it happens to be. Don't scream at an airline agent at the gate. Take a deep breath. Have a drink. Maybe smoke up before you go to the airport. But get rid of it, you know, because you can't travel with the weed. Just behave. Do everyone else a favor. Do yourself a favor. Behave. And maybe not even just when it comes to travel. Just going forward as a human being in this continually effed up country of ours. Behave. Just behave. That's all. Let's squeeze in our pal Tommy from Lynn on the Patriots. How do you feel about the Pats in Vegas tomorrow, Tommy? Hi.
What's up, Murray? This is what I got to say. They just got to play a good game tomorrow, and Mac Jones is going to play good on the offense, and the coaches is going to come up with a good scheme to shut down Max Crosby and shut down the rest of their offense. Can they beat them? I think they can, like you've been saying, 20-17 score, and Patriots win. And Murray, last night I went to the Celtics game, and I want to touch on that real quick.
Sure.
Last night was a good debut for Robert Williams, even though he got 3 fouls in the first few minutes. And the Celtics should have never lost, but you know who I ran into and took a picture with?
I'm guessing
Jay Stu.
I saw him on the I saw him tweeting that he was on the Jumbotron last night. He had his fancy seats. How was he? Was he nice to you, I hope?
Oh, yeah, he was the man. He was the man. And also, tonight, I got a remote podcast in Boston at King's Seaport.
No kidding.
Tommy Knows Best Sports Podcast. If anyone ain't doing anything, come out to it.
What time, Tommy?
I'm going to go on 6-7, and I'm going to talk about all the football games and everything else.
All right. Thanks, Tommy. Tommy at King's Seaport from 6-7 p.m. tonight. Look at Tommy doing the live remotes from down the fancy-ass Seaport. Good for him. So stop on by. Get some wings and a beer. Say hello to Tommy. And join him on his podcast, or at least say hello. All right, let's get to the Celtics, shall we? Because I think they've had a bad week. And that last night was, frankly, unbecoming for them. And I think some of the attitude that you saw on the floor, Al Horford, elbow and a German in the Jimmy, like a bad night for them. So we'll touch on that and what I thought was a bad week for the Celtics. And that includes them almost letting go of the rope, but ended up turning out to be a nice win, admittedly, against the Lakers on Tuesday. We'll do that after the headlines here as we get into the Sports Hub Celtics show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.